Welcome, everyone, to KTWHLP Two Harbors Community Radio, 99.5 on your dial, ktwh.org, on your streaming device, bringing you this week's stories behind the stories in the Lake County Press with writer and editor Kitty Mayo. Good morning, Kitty. How are you on this deceptively cool but otherwise perfectly lovely spring morning day here?
Great. I'm great, Tom.
Excellent. Our first piece is right off the front page with a beautiful color of my favorite tugboat. And the headline says that the energy is still in the water a year after recommended removal. And then there's some other city council items of interest as well in this piece. So do tell.
I will tell. So, Tom, the tugboat was recommended to come out of the water. I went back through my notes March of 2023. So we're talking a good year now. Paul Lemaire, who is a well-renowned expert on the restoration and salvage of old tugboats, among other things, did a very thorough evaluation of the Edna G and gave a really great presentation to the city council, being that his advice was to get tug out of the water as soon as possible, that staying in the water, as much as we love boats are in water, they will do their damage over time. And considering the historic nature of the Edna G, that should happen. Now, at time, or a few months after that, in November, City Council did vote unanimously on that advice to prove the engineering assessment by Bolton and Mank. And as you know, Bolton and Mank is the engineering firm that works for the City of Two Harbors. So Bolton Mank was given the approval to go ahead and do an assessment that would say, okay, what would that look like? How would the tug be taken out of the water, and where would it be placed, and how much would that cost so that a plan could begin to be made? However, that hasn't happened yet, and the years go by, as they will do, and I can only assume that the Edna G is continuing to, deteriorate at the waterline and below, among other things. So that was the highlight of that. And as you well know, there's many interested parties, including the Friends of the Waterfront and the Edna G Commission. There is money to do the work, the engineers, the fund, which, as you know, is a lodging tax, percentage of a lodging tax in Two Harbors that goes into a very specific fund to take care of her. So the money exists to get that work done.
Ah, yes. And so the engineering thinking part of it, the designing and everything like that, would probably take the better part of a year to get sorted out, considering all of the permissions that need to be gained from the other entities that are involved, you know, with the Coast Guard and the Army Corps of Engineers and the state of Minnesota and various pollution mitigation agencies at state and federal level. And it is an involved process. It's not a simple matter of hooking a rope up to it and pulling it up on shore. There's a lot of work involved. But there were other stories coming out of the city council that were in the paper, and surprised me was about the administrator of the Public Works Department. And of course, it's probably beyond the scope of this program to get into any of those others too deeply. But whatever you feel fit to discuss, that's fine.
Sure. So absolutely public information that the city has gone ahead with the termination of the head of the Public Works Department, and as well as terminating him from his volunteer position as a city fire department volunteer. And I thought what was remarkable was just before that vote was taken to process that termination, which of course is completely closed to us because a union employee who is being terminated from the city, those are closed meetings and the law protects that. So I have no more information on any of the background of that. But the fire department, several members of the fire department did show up at the city council meeting in full dress uniform. One person asked that he not be terminated and spoke to the character of the individuals. He knew them from the fire department. And Mark Schlangen, the fire department chief, asked that the city not make the termination until he understood it better. There's a shortage of volunteers in every emergency service response, and so I'm sure that's part of the concern. However, it did go forward, and considering the laws and around that type of a situation, I don't think that I'm going to ever find out more about it or that it will be changed.
Yes. As a union rep myself, when I was in the track department on the railroad, there are some finer points of being discharged that are beyond the scope of this program. It has to be something that's no, I'm not going to say another word about that. Let's move on to the city administrator's report.
But once again, Patty Nordine, the city administrator for Two Harbors, shared what she worked on the week prior to the city council meeting on Monday. And I'm always really impressed with all the meetings and things that she manages to get done. I guess you can read through the list. And I think if people want to know more about any of these projects that Patty lists in her reports, they should reach out to the paper and I'll do some investigating and just find out more to tell more about the story. I think meeting with Lake County HRA Director Matthew Johnson regarding housing projects is a very interesting one. I'm hearing more and more discussion at the City Council that they're going to be partnering, collaborating, creating a stronger working relationship with the county housing authorities and trying to use the resources together to get stuff done. A very positive move, I think.
Very good. It is a good thing, I think, that you're putting the city administrator's report in the paper for people to see. They don't realize, you know, I see a duck swimming across the water, how calm it looks, but the part that nobody can see is where the feet are doing things, and they're usually paddling pretty furiously, and so it is in City Hall. You have a piece in here that I ordinarily don't bring it up, but it's the local view from 4'2". This woman has grown up with debilitating arthritis, which has resulted in her living her life pretty much in a wheelchair now, and getting a new wheelchair was a combination of joy and extreme discomfort at the same time. And so it's some good details in the story about that I think people should think about. They don't consider what it's like when you have to live on two wheels like that.
Absolutely. So you're talking about Jenna Udenberg, our disability advocate and educator, accessibility educator, who I think she just brings such richness to our communities where we live, constantly asking us to think about our discomfort, what makes us uncomfortable around disabilities. And what it kind of her message this week is about sort of like what it means to be alive. There's a fair amount of discomfort involved with it, with disabilities, without. And when Jenna and I talk in private, we often say things like, if you live long enough, you also will have a disability. So I love how she's opening that conversation all the time. And yes, please read it. And if you have a disability or know someone with a disability in your life, Jenna wants to hear your story, and her information for contact is on there. I just encourage people to reach out to her and talk to her.
You bet. It is, I think, in my mind, it was an eye-opener. Something that I had never really considered before. And, well, I guess that's on me, I suppose. But let's move on to the liquor store. We had a groundbreaking recently.
More Two Harbors City news. Yes, you've been wondering, some of you have driven by what's going on down by past Culver's over there. That's property that the city's been working on acquiring. They own it now. And then all of the work that has to go into if you want to build on land has been, over the last few months, been moving ahead really gangbusters. And now the official groundbreaking did happen just last Friday. I have a picture of many of the happy individuals involved. I added some reminders about the project to people that it's going to cost over $5 million. And so it's going to be a really nice, big, shiny liquor store with some great parking. The hopes and the plan really does look like it'll be completed in this construction year, which is sort of phenomenally fast, in my opinion.
It is. And let's move on here. The U.S. Supreme Court made a decision recently which affects how the state of Minnesota tax forfeit laws are applied. And in Lake County, this can be an important thing.
It's going to be an important thing. It's a long piece that Katya Gordon wrote, a great explaining this situation and how it can and will affect Lake County. Really encourage people to get familiar with this. It's going to have a pretty significant impact on the bottom line for Lake County. And what's at question here is there was a woman in Minnesota who did not pay her taxes in Lake County, in a different county, and the law allows the state to then take that property. If years have gone by and the taxes are unpaid, then it becomes a property of the county, or depending on the scenario, usually the county. So in this case, the county then sold that property and kept the reaped the rewards, which were much more than what the taxes were that were owed on it. And so she sued the county over that and won her case. Now, that's going to really change, and laws are going to have to be rewritten, really change the process for all the counties in Minnesota. Tax forfeit land is a reasonably good amount of revenue for Lake County. Lake County doesn't have the highest amount of revenue from that, but it's going to have an impact on the bottom line. And there's a lot of questions about, is this really fair? Because the county then has to do work to process properties depending on what's going on with them and put in time and cost. So time to bone up on our understanding of the law of tax forfeiture.
Yes, yes. It is, it is a complex unwinding to do, but it is something that is important to everybody here who owns property in this county, and what happens if you forfeit it. Our next piece is about Earth Day and focus on plastics in our environment.
This is from Marley Schumacher, our intern, student intern, 12th grader at William Kelly High School. And I asked her to think about Earth Week, Earth Day, Earth Month, whatever, however you want to color it. Seems to take up all of April nowadays, which is probably for the best. And she wanted to learn more about microplastics, and she shared what she learned in her piece. And her bottom line was recycling is great, and it's not going to solve the problems we're creating with plastic. They bound and turn into these tiny, tiny microscopic bits that end up inside of our cells, ultimately, and that's not good. So read some more about what Marley has to say about what other kinds of changes we might consider making.
Sure, and it's well and good that we bag up our plastics and set them out for recycling, but the other side of the line, the dirty backside of it is that if there's no market for the plastic that's been collected for recycling, it doesn't get recycled. It goes into the landfill,
mm-hmm.
or it goes away, shall we say. And so this is something that will not go away. It has to be dealt with. Magical thinking won't fix it. So this last one is a great feel-good piece, especially for people who are familiar with Mr. Helgeson and the Ben Franklin department store, dime store. What's a dime store? Our dollar stores are more than a dollar. A dime store. Right? This goes back a ways. The man is 93 years old and still working, keeping busy, and I think it's grand.
Right. It is National Volunteer Week, I understand. And I found out that Bob Helgeson, who a lot of people will remember, the Helgesons, we have the Richard Helgeson Airport named after Bob's brother. And Bob is 93 years old. He's still volunteering at St. Luke's Hospital. He pushes around the mail cart. I had a lovely talk with him. In 1990, he sold Ben Franklin and moved on to other pursuits and endeavors, but lots and lots of people remember the Ben Franklin. His parents had the dime store before he and his brother ran that for many years, since 1920. So from 1920 to 1990, the Helgesons were taking care of the sort of everyday needs of people with a five and dime or Ben Franklin. He's still out there doing great.
You bet. Still poking along. I think that's just simply splendid. So was there anything lurking in the background there, Kay, that you just could not contain any further?
Well, there's always more to this story, Tom, but I'll hang on to it for next week.
Okay, very good. Thank you. To our listeners out there who are with us, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you on the radio again next week as well. And tell your friends about us, too. And to you, Kitty, as well, thank you, and bye for now.
Hey, Tom. Bye-bye.